This is Sherry Anderson interviewing Percy Patrick Wiley, otherwise known as Pawpaw. When were you born?
I was born March 12, 1927.
Who are your parents?
My parents was Ethel L. Wiley, Ethel Lou Wiley, and Plenty P. Wiley.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had five brothers and two sisters. There's three dead. They died as babies.
And were you like the middle child or which?
I was like the third child.
Are the rest of them still living?
There's two brothers still living and one sister. The youngest brother died about 2 or 3 years ago. Had a brain hemorrhage.
Do they still live around here?
Yeah. They live within... Well, my next, let's see, third youngest brother lives in Carrollton. But the other brother next to me lives over here in Powder Springs.
Where did you live? Like, have you always lived in Powder Springs?
No, I was born in Carrier Park, Georgia, which is Fulton County. And then we moved from there to, what's the name of that section? It was, anyhow, it was Northwest Drive off of Bolton Road. And then we stayed there all my life till 1963, and we moved to Powder Springs. So
you've been here since
1963, and this is 1996,
33
years.
I live
right here in this house,
33
years.
Yeah. And, like, where you lived in your childhood?
Yeah.
What was the house like? I mean, the neighborhood? Did you live in a neighborhood?
Yeah.
Did you have lots of kids and stuff?
It was all boys, just all country. It was, the roads wasn't paved. There was no movies. There was no fast food restaurants, no nothing. It was just country. I mean, when you eat at home at night. Or you eat what Mom put on the table at dinner time. And this was back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And you know, the only thing we done was went to the woods and played in the woods, or had a wash hole, or you know, went fishing, or you didn't have nothing else to do with it. You either done work around the house, or you know, we played ball, but most of the ball we made ourselves. We made everything we had in them days. Like the baseball we had was a golf ball, we wrapped a lot of cord, and then we took tape and made a regular size ball out of it. And then for bats, we went to the woods and cut hickory sticks, you know, and kind of shaped them like a bat. And you won't believe it, I used like a 3 or 4 gallon bucket to catch balls in the outfield. We didn't have them. Didn't pour. I'm talking about pour, we were poor. And, you know, all I can say is, which, you know, back in them days, we was doing real good. Kids them days, in the summertime, we could look to plum trees or something. We always had some plum orchard or somewhere we could go pick plums. Or you had seasonal things that the kids done then. You know, we went out in the woods like Michelle's mother. When spring first started hitting, we'd go to the woods and look for pigs. And that's a little thing, a little plant that comes up under an oak tree. It's got a little tuber-like thing coming up, a little purple thing. It's got a little funny-like little ears. But you scratch the leaves back, and you can find them around these green plants. And that was fun to do, go hunt pigs. And anyhow, each part of the season, you had something to do, but it wasn't nothing that cost money. Nobody had no money. You know, you didn't have nothing. Like when I went to grammar school, I got $1 a week. And I bought a pound of jelly beans. And at recess, side of the schoolyard, everybody got some of the jelly beans. So that's as much candy as you could get for a dime, like a pound of jelly beans. A dime for a pound. So everybody looked to me for jelly beans each week. So my daughter come along there, she still eats jelly beans. But they're like $1.98 or something now. Yeah.
Do you remember like any of your friends out of your childhood?
Friends do what?
Like the friends that you played with or anything? Do you remember like any of the things that you done? Like the mischief that you got into and stuff?
Well, yeah, we had one boy, we was all about 14, 15, I was 22. And we had one kid that was scared of the graveyard. Now this really happened, it come out in the paper, this ain't no joke, this is actually happened. Anyhow, my brother he was like 18 or 19, and he run around with a bunch of young guys. See, I was 22 and I worked every day. Well, I come in from work one day, and Lamar Tony said, "Hey, we're going to take care of Frank over to the cemetery tonight about sundown." And he had an old, I believe it was like a 39 Ford, four-door, old red-looking maroon four-door. I believe it was 39 Ford. And he was going to load all these boys up, about five or six of them, and carry them over to the cemetery. But they had two other guys that wasn't going to go. They was going over there like 4 or 5 o'clock and see the cemetery was just woods and, you know, just old country. But they were going to get over behind some cedars with a sheet on. Well, then when Lamar come in with his bunch of boys and Frank was the one that didn't want to go by himself. He wasn't even want to drive by one. So they were going to carry him in the cemetery and put him out and show him there wasn't nothing to get hurt. Now, why be scared of a cemetery? So they was going to drive in about sundown, and then when he got Frank away from the car, these two guys was already in there behind them cedars. They're going to come out with their sheets and steal the hell out of Frank. They'd done it just for meanness. Well, my brother, when I come in from work, he said, I come in like 4:30 or something like that. He said, "Pat, I'll tell you, if you want to have some hellacious fun tonight," said, "Ed Reese and another boy is going over. You just had one special way to get in the cemetery, a little dirt road, and there's cedars. Everybody knew we were about the cemetery." Said, "But if you'll get over there before Frank and what's called sits down with their sheet, if you'll get on over there somewhere else with a sheet, so when Ed and this other boy comes out with their sheet on, so they ain't going to know you in there. When you come out with your sheet, so they're going to leave town because you're going to scare the devil out of them. They're going to know that there's a real ghost." So anyhow, it got pretty close to sundown, and I went over and got me a sheet, and I hid my car and walked about 2 miles to get to them behind them other cedars over there, you know. Well, I seen Ed and this other guy come in where they went with their sheets, you know. Well, then just about dark, here come my brother, and just about the time he had to turn on lights, he come in with this group of boys and Frank. So, anyhow, Lamar got out and they was talking, and it got pretty dark by then. You know, you could see things, but you couldn't tell for sure what it was. So Lamar got out and they said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah," and this, and yeah. Of course, a lot of them little boys were scared themselves. They didn't admit it, but they were scared just about as bad as Frank was. And all of a sudden, I seen this Ed and what's it called get up with his sheets on and holler, "Ooh." Well, I mean, they went to screaming and scared some of them half to death. And Ed and them was having fun. They said they looked back and I said, "Ooh, come out of my skin." They tore up in bushes. And you know, it was on a hillside. You know how lots are built up? You can hear them run off one of them graves, you know, it's built up on, you know how a hill. And you build it up to keep the grave level, you know. You hear him step off a roof. Anyhow, it got so bad, everybody, half of them was really scared. I mean, they thought there was really one real ghost that knew that two guys and I was full of fake, but the third one, that was something. And the two guys that basically, you know, they were scared. And my brother said he kind of knew all about it, but he couldn't get them all together. You know, they just running, they just screaming, running through the bushes and hollering. had enough. So anyhow, the cemetery was kind of on a high hill. Well, after I got done having my fun, you know, I went and got back to my car and went out to the regular road and went down the hill out into a paved road. And here come two detectives. And they you knew everybody in the whole community, you know. And one of them named Nicholas and one of them named Kerr. And I was 22 years old. I was the oldest one in the crowd, you know. And the rest of them were like 14, 15, 18, maybe 19 years old. 22, I'm not supposed to be doing nothing bad. It was bad. So anyhow, when I started out in that road, they said, "Why?" They said, "Did you hear anything when you come off that cemetery over there?" I said, "No, sir." So we got a call that somebody's getting killed up there. I said, "They heard a bang or a shouting and screaming, and they thought somebody's got killed up there." I said, I don't know nothing about it. I said, "I just come down there, but I didn't see nothing." Man, I shagged out to my wife's house of heaven. I was going with her then. I went down to her house, and so I was sitting there, and I was scared to death because police done got involved. That's police then. If you got mixed up with police, man, you was in terrible shape. So, anyhow, I went on down to Helen's house, and I sat down. I didn't tell them what I'd been into, and I was sitting there, and they had the one of them little bitty screen television. The TV first come at you. And I was watching. Went long, my mama called. Pat! I said, "What?" Said, "You got to come home. The police got Lamar and Carl's run through them burn off woods over yonder. He's run his ball cap." She said he was coming to where the woods had been burned off. He had on a t-shirt, but when they hit all them burnt bushes, they couldn't see where they were running. They just, when they heard the police coming in there, you know, and everything, they said what they found out. What scared them, when the two detectives went up on top of the hill where the car was, there was the Ford sitting with all four doors open, nobody around it. Nobody had made it back. Well, Mar told me later on that he went back and tried to get it cranked, and it wasn't cranked. So then when they heard the police and all seen them, so they all, you know, once it wasn't really scared, burnt the woods up too. Well, then when the detectives got up there, they thought there was a killing and knowed somebody was out there in them woods, so they called a dog wagon. That turned bloodhounds loose. So when the bloodhounds go yip, 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 they said some of them boys hit that creek down out of them briar, didn't make no difference. They cut them briar wild. They said that, you know, where the graves is built up on the high side, they found one little boy down there, and that's what scared the detective when they found this little boy. He done went around and around and dark so much and run so far, he just laying a humming and kicking and spitting up cotton. He couldn't run no further. He done gone at 42. He laying there just kicking the hollering and spitting up the white cotton. I said, that scared him to death. Well, then they knew it was kids, but they done turned the dogs loose. Mm-hmm. So one boy, Ed, the one that got up with his sheet on, he lived about 2.5 miles from the cemetery. He's a short little fat rascal. He beat everybody home. He went home. They found him at home, and they said that Milton Crow, the dog, followed him. And they said Milton went in the basement, put on some old boots or something, and went up through the house. But the dogs went around this house smelling him. You know, they could smell where he went. So anyhow, they made us all come to court. And here I'm thinking, boy, I'm long gone. I'm 22 years old, and, you know, I'm gone. I'll be doing some time over this. I was so scared. They got down there, and they told us about how all this happened, you know, that they got a call that somebody was getting killed. When they got up there, they found the car with four doors open, and they knew something had happened, and this whoever said it was a shooting or anything, it wasn't nothing like that. Somebody said somebody threw a pop bottle against a tombstone. That's what but it was nothing but screaming and hollering because some of them scared to death, you know. And running in the dark in the bushes and trying to get back together, it's hard to do, you know. And, but anyhow, they told us that after they got up there, what scared them, when they did find it was kids, but they'd turned the dogs on, that scared the police, you know. And you then they had a problem. So anyhow, when we got us to court down there, that's to explain all that to us and told us, you know, they wanted just to tell us how serious it was that them detectives come all the way from Buckhead as fast as they could drive. They could have had a bad wreck and got killed just for a prank. It was really a prank, just to show Frank that it was really nothing in the cemetery and just have a little fun out of him. So So I didn't go to jail. They didn't do nothing on me. But we did have a good... But it come out in the paper. Super Ghost Scares Ghosts. That's what it read in the paper. Super Ghost Scares Ghosts. So I had that little clipping. But that's where we used to go. People ask, well, y'all been in the cemetery lately? So that's about all we ever got into on that. Oh, yeah, we used to greasers. You know, they were street cars, and they run on a rail with an overhead trolley. And we'd jerk trolleys, you know. If you jerk a trolley, that thing wouldn't move, and that boy would get mad. The man steered the thing. He just turned it off and on. It'd run down the rails. But we didn't have nothing to do on Saturday night, so we'd go down the car line and jerk trolleys. We'd pull up to let somebody off, and we'd jerk the trolley off. All you had to do is pull it down and let it get off that wharf, and that thing wouldn't move. Then some other things we'd do, we'd grease the rails. He'd go so far, but he'd just spin. It wouldn't. We never did know that too bad. But that's not all thing we ever got into bad, I reckon.
Yeah.